Hey there, I'm Joe Kendrick, welcoming you to On the Way Up, WNCW's new music podcast. We're at episode 15 now. Big thanks to Kim Clark for doing research on all of these albums that we're featuring today, which include one of our favorite Western North Carolina singer-songwriters, Aaron Burdett. We also play some veterans of the alternative and Americana scenes, plus newcomers to the Latin jazz and funk world in the band Duende Libre. We also get to a segue of the week going back to Twin Peaks and one from the original soundtrack, plus our DJ for a day talking about the art of the record review with Jason Leinberger. Let's get it kicked off with a band from Los Angeles, a big band, an eight-piece band called Dust Bowl Revival. This is their 10th anniversary, and their self-titled album includes this tune, Call My Name.
Roll your boat, winter time's coming, baby, put on your coat. Me and prophet, I'm not a preacher. I ain't a poet, I'm not a teacher. I don't know nothing, that's how I like it. Live in a tide pool, don't try to fight it. 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 I used to rage, I used to fight. Would not go gentle into the night. I drank my liquor, I took my drugs. With pimps and pushers, hookers and thugs. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to fight it. I've heard the story of evolution. I've read the Bible, know that solution. My head is filled up with fact and fiction. All that I'm sure of is flesh and friction. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to fight it.
Thank you.
25 years ago, alternative music was seen as the next big sea change in the music world. And in some ways it was, maybe not in the way that people thought at the time. Juliana Hatfield was in that wave of alternative music in the Blake Babies. This is her 13th solo release called Pussycat. The entire album was recorded in 12 days as Juliana's, quote, way of coping with the results of the election. That was the tune Wonder Why. Juliana Hatfield followed David Olney. And talk about a veteran. He released his first album in 1986. This is his 23rd record. It's called Don't Try to Fight It. That was the title track. Townes Van Zandt said that David Olney was one of the best songwriters he had ever heard. And he's got a lot of great songs to his credit. He wrote Deeper Well, you know, that Emmylou Harris tune. And he's also been recorded by Linda Ronstadt, Slade Cleaves, Tim O'Brien, and Del McCurry. He is a regular here at WNCW. We started with Dust Bowl Revival. That was Call My Name from their self-titled disc. It comes out June 6th, and it's celebrating their 10th anniversary as a band. They say that after playing nearly 800 shows in the last 4 years, they realized that they had outgrown their previous retro style, and they wanted to experiment with some new, funkier sounds. Let's go into our own backyard now for Aaron Burdett. Refuge is his brand new one. This is the tune, It's a Living.
After all this time, if I was gone 2 weeks, they'd forget I was ever here. It's good to have the bills paid, but it's a precious trade. Spending half of my time on something I don't like, pay for the half I do, but it's a living, yeah. It's a living, yeah. When I was a kid, well, my old man ran his own business with his own two hands. Every day he labored through, but I guess it was what he wanted to do. It seemed like too much work to me. His weekends were just another day of the week, and I decided way back then that I'd only be working when I went in. And this office job, it ain't too hard. Easy on the back, but hard on the heart. I swear 8 hours at this desk could suck the brain right out of your head. It's After all this time, if I was gone 2 weeks, they'd forget I was ever here. It's good to have the bills paid, but it's a precious trade. Spending half of my time on something I don't like, paid for the half I do, but it's a living, yeah. It's a living, yeah. Day in, day out, it's a matter of time. Dig up the doubts and push them down. It ain't all bad and it ain't all good. I'm doing both better and worse than I ever thought I could. And I thought I But it's a precious trade. Spending half of my time on something I don't like. Pay for the half I do, but it's a living, yeah. It's a living, yeah. It's a living. A funny thing to call it, but it's a living. And I'm counting those minutes down. It's a living. Can't do without it, but it's a living.
Boy, go get that shovel. We need worms for the coffee can. If you want to go fishing, you got to get a little dirt on your hands. You got to get a little dirt on your hands. I know you like them taters straight from my frying pan. Somebody had to dig them. They got a little dirt on their hands. They got a little dirt on their hands. I didn't know then, but now I understand. Grandma taught me all I need to know to be a man. You gotta get a little dirt on your hands. You gotta get a little dirt, get a little dirt on your hands.
That's Jared Tyler and the tune Dirt on Your Hands, the title track to his third solo album. You know him best from his work with Malcolm Holcomb. He's been in Malcolm Holcomb's band for a long time, and he's also supported Emmylou Harris, Nickel Creek, Wilco, and a lot of others. This was recorded live in studio with guitarist Kenny Vaughn. You may know Kenny Vaughn from being in the band The Fabulous Superlatives with Marty Stewart. He also played with Lucinda Williams. Also, along with Jared Tyler in the band, is David Rowe on bass and drummer Dave Dunseith, plus other guests. We started with Aaron Burdett from Saluda, North Carolina. No Depression includes Aaron on a pretty select list of great voices from North Carolina alongside Don Williams, James Taylor, and Randy Travis. Next up, it's DJ for a Day. Have you ever read a record review and admired it just for its own value? Maybe the record review was better than the record itself. We're going to talk with Jason Limeburger up next. Here we are at another DJ for a Day on WNCW's On the Way Up. I'm talking with Jason Limeburger. He is Digital Learning Coordinator at Cleveland County Schools. He was also a great radio DJ on the overnights here on ARC Overnight, as well as at WXYC in Chapel Hill. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be here.
Today we've got The Art of the Record Review as our subject, and I immediately thought of you when I came up with this because I remember all of the record reviews that are still here in the WNCW library. One of them isn't, and that was the page-long Wu-Tang Clan review on one of their last albums.
Yeah, I still remember writing that one.
There was one song you could play on the air, but you gave it extensive ink.
As I recall, I was perhaps rather negative about that record, mostly in light of that I had enjoyed previous releases quite a bit and that this one seemed to be a blatant money grab, maybe unabashedly a money grab. I don't know, but I think that there is a place even for album reviews for records that you're not going to play on the air. Even those, there's a value in that it gives that DJ some insight into the context. So perhaps someone picking up that album review might then look towards one of the other better releases that I perhaps mentioned in the review.
And that's the whole art aspect that I was thinking about. You know, in media in general, it's a lens to view the larger world. And in radio, we're trying to be tastemakers and trendsetters for music. And so we present the new music and hope that it's the best, that listeners will like, that they'll become fans. And then to get to that point, the album review, the record review, is kind of the lens within the lens. So we DJs get to hone in on something that we might not have paid attention to because of these reviews. And it's really kind of going away. It existed a lot more back in the day when you and I were traipsing around in Chapel Hill at WXYC, but now it's kind of gotten towards the pattern of likes on Facebook and shares on social media and so forth.
And that's a shame because I can think of so many times when the thing that a record review served to do for me as a DJ was it would help me fit a piece into a set that maybe I was less familiar with. It would also give me some context to talk about it. And it wasn't just the talking points that came from the record label, because they were glad to send you their own review that you could just paste onto the album as well. But, you know, it gave me some talking points that came from a real fan. You know, usually these albums are being reviewed by somebody who spent some time with it. And a lot of times when you're getting in as much new music as you do at WNCW, that you don't have time to listen to everything in depth, but when you have someone who did take the time to do that, that gives you some insight into it. And, you know, it makes your talk sets less superficial, if I think it's where I want to go with that. That it gives you some actual depth to what you can say about it. But then it also leads you into some new direction. So I remember reading record reviews at WXYC, and they would mentioned, you know, this band is obviously influenced by this person and this person. And I would say, oh, who are they? And then all of a sudden now I've got a set put together for the new release, their influences, and then maybe from based on the reviews I read on those albums, the influences of those bands. So now I've got a cohesive talk set that I can bring in where we are sort of tracing the lineage of these sounds.
I would say that good journalism and record reviews, it's definitely not dead. I mean, you can go to a lot of really well-thought-of publications and get in-depth coverage of what this record is about, what this band is
right.
about. but it just doesn't seem to be on the level of the front lines, like the radio station, like it used to be, at least as I remember it, where there was not only the record review, but the whole thing had graffiti all over it and everybody else's reply to the review and so on.
Right. It's almost like a, you know, in modern, I guess in a modern perspective, that's like a, almost like a social media page where everyone is commenting on whatever you've posted. Well, but this is a physical artifact that would have all those comments there right away. And there is something about having that as a physical artifact that made it valuable, because you didn't have to scroll through it or whatever. Everything was on. And sometimes the comments had to be short because people were trying to fit them in the available space. And sometimes there would be some give and take. You know, people would disagree with the review and they would voice their opinions on those reviews.
And also there is the way of approaching the record review as an art form by itself. You know, back in the day, reading reviewers like Lester Bangs or David Frick or Nat Henthoff, I mean, that was kind of a rite of passage.
I know that I changed my style of reviewing after reading people who came before me. So I spent a lot of time studying those album reviews and figuring out what approach did these people take, asking myself as a DJ, what did I find useful in the album review? So I went from these pretty utilitarian reviews to, I think eventually my reviews got much more artsy and less direct. Do you remember those early album reviews that it was all about, what is the tempo of this song? What is the subject matter? And then it would have like a track time listed there. So I went from writing these pretty utilitarian reviews to writing more figurative, more poetic, maybe, reviews, where I wanted to capture something about the feel of the album. So I think I remember one time writing about how, instead of calling something mid-tempo sludge, I think I called it something like, imagine a gargantuan snail is drifting slowly across the beach at the edge of the world. The sound you hear is reminiscent of the feel of this track.
And you're right, though. There is a lot of utilitarian aspect to these reviews, because as a DJ on the air, you want to know if it has a false ending. You
right.
want to get a preview of the tempo and so forth.
I just found myself just getting away from that. And I just remember, they're just like, when I think back to my time as a DJ, there are even reviews that I still remember that stick with me. And I can't remember the song, but the review said, you know, it has a mumbled F word at 2 minutes, 25 seconds in. But then again, don't we all? Or I remember there was an album at XYC. It's like, this song cannot be played on air. It is the best song I've heard in years. Just say that they say funk. We'll probably get away with it.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for being on with us, Jason.
You're welcome.
We're talking with Jason Lineberger today on WNCW's On the Way Up, The Art of the Record Review. Hope you enjoyed that DJ for a day. Let us know your feedback on that segment or any ideas or feedback on any of these DJ for a days. You can email me, Joe K at WNCW.org. I'm often on Twitter, and my handle is at WNCWJoe. Now let's go to another veteran of the alternative scene, at least in the beginning. The Mountain Goats started as a pretty much a bedroom lo-fi kind of project from John Darnielle. And he has evolved his sound a lot over the years. And a new one is really a great step, I think. It's completely different. It's called Goths. This is the Mountain Goats with Andrew Eldritch is moving back to Leeds.
Guys in motorhead jackets, who knew him way back when? of us come back someday to the unmarked rooms where the dry dust breeds. Andrew Eldridge is moving back to Leeds. There's a rusted fog machine in a concrete storage space. Letter number combinations with no meaning on its face. They won't make these anymore. It's a wooden coaching form. No one will even steal it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's our segue of the week. Weather Report's Birdland from the classic 1977 album Heavy Weather. Ahead of that, a band that is taking jazz in some different directions, Duende Libre. And the tune is For the Record from their self-titled disc. They formed in Seattle only about a year ago. The band says, quote, Duende Libre is an expression of everything we've seen, heard, touched, tasted, thought, and is offered to the world in the spirit of renewal and waking up. We started with the Mountain Goats. Andrew Eldritch is moving back to Leeds from the new one called Goths. It's about the lead singer of Sisters of Mercy. There are no guitars on this record, which is a total departure from everything that the Mountain Goats had done previously. Frontman John Darnielle, who is famous for not giving interviews, is also an author. He's just published his second novel called Universal Harvester. The band is based in Durham, North Carolina, and they're going to be touring a lot with Jason Isbell this summer. That's it for this episode of On the Way Up. I'm your host, Joe Kendrick. Thanking you for being here. Everything we do at WNCW is possible with your support, and you can join us by becoming a member anytime on our website at wncw.org. Please do support the artists that you enjoy hearing on this podcast. Research is provided by Kim Clark. Thanks also to Eliza Lynn for providing our theme song.
Sing a new song. A new